It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Welcome in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hope you are all well. Man, I love this place. I was over chatting with Dallas, and it's just, I'm telling you, Tim Daly Infinity is a place you need to come. A lot of great end-of-year opportunities, too, for you, whether it be a lease, whether it be a purchase, whatever the case might be. They've got an incredible selection of used inventory as well. So come on down and hang out with us. We will be here until 2 o'clock. It is a Wednesday, which means it's a Cougar preview show. So much going on, and thanks for, again, making us part of your day. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Scotty. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
You having a good day so far?
I am. I'm sorry. I was over chatting with our guys here, and I missed your call. Sorry, and your text messages.
Just making sure we're here at the mothership.
I'm sorry. I feel like I let you down.
No, you're fine. Making sure we were doing the show from the back of one of these Q80s.
What a beautiful ride, man.
Oh, man, all these cars, gorgeous. Absolutely stunning, man. And I love this showroom. Dallas is a good dude. He's up there in the ivory tower.
I look at that. He and I were just chatting about some end-of-year opportunities they've got going on. and I'm telling you, if you felt like Infinity might be a vehicle that might be out of reach for you, you owe it to yourself to just come down and find out for yourself. And just because the lease option, 0% financing, the used inventory as well, you'll be surprised. In fact, we were just – he may have been crunching some numbers for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're better than you would think, huh?
Oh, way better.
Way better.
Way better.
For this level of vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, good people. And so come down, hang out with us. Other than that, Scotty, you know that recurring nightmare I talk to you all the time about? Had one last night. Back in Colts camp.
Oh, yeah.
Back in Colts camp, couldn't find my cleats. Howard Mudd is screaming his head off. Finally get my cleats on. I run outside, and I've missed stretch, and I have to jump right into one-on-ones.
Oh, wow.
And I'm getting down to my stance, and Dwight Freeney walks up.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, gosh, dang it. Always hated going against Dwight.
Yeah,
hated
I it. Could understand why.
Absolutely hated it. And there was a D tackle. We had Josh Williams that was lightning fast. Robert Mathis was on the other side. I very rarely went against Robert. I think I might have taken two, maybe three pass sets against Robert.
That's another guy you don't want to go up against, though.
So listen to this. This is no joke. In my sleep, I'm 20, maybe 15, 20 reps in, and I'm remembering it. The way I woke up is Dwight Freeney was running by me on a speed rush. And I hooked his outside shoulder, and I'm kind of running him deep. And, you know, when you start to run, then you want to really press. I woke up myself by jogging in my bed, and I realized, oh, my gosh, and I kicked my dog because, you know, little Gracie sleeps down at the foot of the bed. I sit straight up, and this is like 5:30 this morning. I sit straight up, and I'm like, I'm so grateful I'm retired. I'm so glad I'm not playing this stupid game anymore. You forget about the anxiety of it all.
Yeah.
Until you have a very vivid dream of individuals kicking your butt and coaches looking at you like, we're going to actually wad up your $400,000 contract.
Right in front of your face.
Right in front of your face. Oh, you're a good guy, and we really like you here, but you – and they're – you know, there are bigger and better things for you in this world, as they wad up 400 grand and you're like, no, there's really not.
No,
I needed that money.
If you really think that you're going to be in this league for a long time, you know, you're going to get snatched up so fast. It's going to be our loss, and we're going to be kicking ourselves for, okay, well, how about I spare you that regret and you just keep me?
Yeah, just keep me. We won't tell anybody about this little exchange.
Yeah.
We'll keep it between us. But, oh, my gosh. And so this morning I've just been full of anxiety. So then I'm watching Texas State film, but I'm doing it in a really bad mood.
Okay.
I wrote and deleted, and I'm not exaggerating, 8 tweets I wrote and deleted. And because I would write it, I'm like, this is absolutely terrible. This is where they're garbage. This is what they're trying to do, but it's a pathetic effort. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to delete that because it's not fair to the Texas State players. Because it's not their fault that they got thrown in with BYU. It's not their fault that they're stuck against a juggernaut right now.
It's not their fault their parents gave them poor genetics to not be able to play football at a high level.
Where was this when they were taking on Louisiana Tech? Where was this type of sympathy?
Come on, man. That wasn't that bad a tweet. That got blown out of proportion, Lloyd. That got blown out of proportion. You remember what it says? It was a simple tweet.
Yeah, you came at him hard, though.
Are you being serious?
I think when you compared the running back to the garbage that gets stuck at the end of your shoe when you're at the county fair, that was a bit much.
You said the quarterback was like roast beef sandwich of some sort,
or like from Arby's. Like the stuff that you can't get off the bottom of your shoe when you go and walk Buster and Gracie around.
I don't ever remember saying any of that. Now you're gonna make me go back and
find
it.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I didn't find that. Right, I didn't send that.
No,
what did I say? It was simple. It was just like Louisiana Tech's not as good as.
Yeah, you just said they're not good.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah. Well, and I said the same with Texas State. I just said, working on Texas State film, getting ready for the Cougar Preview show today, they aren't good at all. That was my tweet.
I like the at all. But you did prop up some guy out there, though.
Yeah.
He's going to have to miss a half.
He's actually their outside linebacker. He plays some outside and some inside. He's their best defender. Was it just last week that the team BYU was playing played without their best defender in the first half?
I think
half?
It was the 2 weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks
yeah.
ago? UTSA?
Yep.
So this week, Texas State is without number 7. If you want to see why, you can check it out on Twitter, at 975Hants. If you don't have a Twitter account, are there many people out there that don't have a Twitter account now?
Honestly, I think the majority of people do not have a Twitter account.
Majority do not?
Yeah, I think and Lloyd and I were talking about this the other day. I think we read too much into what people are saying on Twitter. And we get too a little overly concerned about it. Because there are massive companies that make big time decisions based on what people say on Twitter, and if you were to add up numbers, there's way more people on Facebook than Twitter. Like if you were to judge public reaction off of a social media platform, you would probably judge it more off of Facebook. And even then, I wouldn't do that, but. There's way more people on Facebook than Twitter.
I had no idea.
I know, and I don't believe it either until I had a bunch of numbers thrown at me.
Where does Instagram come in?
I don't know.
Is it way back?
I think it's further back than that, yeah.
So it's Facebook and Twitter are kind of the powerhouses.
I think Instagram might be higher than Twitter. I don't know. I'll get you those numbers.
Wow.
But I was at the
shocking.
The NBA. Oh, it was at the NBA League meetings a year ago when they rolled out the numbers. And they said, hey, look, you know, don't get too overreactionary about Twitter because it's not as high. It's just not quite as popular as you might think it is.
That's actually crazy. I would have never thought that. But you can go check that out. It's a targeting call, and it was about, I don't know, 5 minutes into the third quarter or so, something. And like I think the numbers are on there on the video that I put out there, but. He gets a targeting call in the third quarter, so he will not be out there for the first half of BYU. We'll talk about how that can affect them, and then I've got I've got maybe a page and a half of notes for Texas State as I've suffered through it. So when we get into the BYU or the Cougar Preview show coming up at noon, we'll kind of dive pretty deep into this. I'm going to try not to bore people, but Scotty, all I can do is prepare for the games that I can prepare for.
You can only prepare for the teams that you can prepare for.
I mean, until Utah-Arizona game week, you know, and I know you've got Utah State-Boise State game notes, and we really got to take some time to – I mean, come on, man. We're just a couple of days away now.
I know. Hey, can I throw a would you rather at you?
Yeah, please.
So Boise State has this rule, and I'm sure I've not heard of any other school do this. But Boise State, and I'm not, by the way, I'm not knocking them. You know I like to take shots at Boise State. But in an abundance of caution, Boise State has got a policy where they want a negative test from all local and out-of-town media. And they are offering testing the day of the game, starting at 7 a.m. So if I were to go to the game, or I'm going to the game, obviously, but one of my options are to show up at Boise State at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning, get a test, and they said the wait time is anywhere from 5 to 6 hours. Okay. So we're on the air pregame at 4. I get a test at 7, likelihood get results somewhere from noon or 1 o'clock, and then we all have to run up, set up all of our equipment, and be ready to be on the air at 4 o'clock.
Slim margins.
And it's fine, and it's not a problem if we're all negative.
Yeah.
But if we're asymptomatic but yet still have COVID and we pop positive.
You're not getting into the stadium.
We're not getting into the stadium, and all of a sudden Ajay is doing play-by-play of Utah State.
Okay, so is that the Aggies' option? Because if Aggie fans have to listen to
Mr. What about punting? How in punting, how is there – we just see the guy kick the ball. What details go into punting in situational football?
That could be your guy doing play-by-play for Utah State. And I love Ajay. Don't get me wrong.
God, oh, man, that's doing him so dirty. Come on, Ajay deserves better than that.
I'm not. Was that negative towards Ajay?
Well, but Ajay, if you're down on the field, do we have much of a wind at all down there on the field?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of getting cold over here. I'm kind of glad I wore a long sleeve on this field.
Nobody cares about that, Ajay. We want to know about the wind.
Jeez, man. This is a railroading of Ajay right now.
Okay. Anyway, that's beside the point.
So, wait, who's the backup, though?
It would Kevin White.
So Kevin would do it solo?
I'd say Kevin White would just have to do the game solo, yeah. Okay. If it, that's
okay, well, wind's blowing east, and yeah, there is definitely a wind.
I just wanted to test the mic. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted.
Nobody cares
test,
about that.
I just wanted to test the mic.
Man, you were ornery. Were you just kind of ornery? Had you not eaten?
Was I hangry?
Okay, in Scotty's defense, we had been having issues with this mic for most of the season.
Yes. And so we thought we had fixed it. I just wanted an opportunity to test it in the middle of the game because we didn't have a commercial break left. So I thought, what's a good way to test the mic? Oh, they're playing Air Force. It's windy out there. I'm like, hey, Ajay, is there a wind down on? And it was, I didn't want to give a weather report. I just wanted to kind of find a way to test the mic. And then he starts complaining about how cold he is. And I'm like,
Ajay,
no.
See that? Yeah, that on off button. Let's turn that off, shall
we? Oh, man. That was after?
I think that's the whole sequence right there, wasn't it, Lloyd?
Yeah, that was the whole sequence.
Why don't you play the whole thing?
Oh, Scotty, this is horrible. This is mean.
Okay, fine.
They're running a promotion, and a young lady was down on the field, and her hair was whipping around a little bit. You wonder if the wind is starting to kick in a little bit. Ajay, if you're down on the field, do we have much of a wind at all down there on the field?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of getting cold over here. I'm kind of glad I wore a long sleeve on this field.
Nobody cares about that, Ajay. We want to know about the wind.
Okay, well, wind's blowing east, and yeah, there is definitely a wind.
All right. Thank you for that. All right. Ajay down on the side. 3:46 left to go here in the second quarter.
Hey, I don't want Ajay to get cold down there, Scott. Maybe we could have him do some wind sprints or something to warm him up.
40-yard dash?
Yes. That 5.7 speed.
Ajay, see that? Yeah, that on-off button. Let's turn that off, shall we? 2:46 left to go here in the second quarter. We're all square at 14 apiece.
Man, you were hangry. You were ornery. Even Kevin's trying to save it. He's like, "Hey, that you're pretty fast there, huh?" Hey, yep, yeah. Go ahead and turn that off.
Okay. All right. Anyway, or
so that's their option.
That's
you just heard the option right there.
Yeah. Or
Ajay'd be on sidelines. Kevin White would be doing the whole show.
Yeah. Or I can get tested tomorrow morning in Logan at 7:30. So I would leave my house at like 5:30, go up to Logan, get tested, come back, and then do the show. But at least I have somewhat of a cushion there if, heaven forbid, I'm positive. So what would you do? Would you chance it and just go up on Saturday and test?
I'd chance it.
Or would you do the safe thing, but no. The inconvenient thing?
No.
And go up to Logan tomorrow?
I'd chance it. It's easily answered. There's no way you have COVID. There's just no way. And if you do, you've probably already had it. You've been sick a couple of times a long time before COVID was even a big thing.
You swear that I had it back in February.
I do. Like maybe mid-February?
Yeah.
When you were just...
That was a rough stretch.
It was the first time in 6 years you had missed a show because of illness.
The only time.
First time.
Yep.
In 6 years of us doing this show, going on seven now, that you had missed a show because of sick. You were down. And I called him like, dude, so you're really not coming in? And you said, yeah, I'm not even doing talking sports tonight. And I was like, man, okay.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
I'm not even calling the Utah State basketball game tonight. I was like, all right. I think you missed an Aggie game, didn't
you?
No,
I did not. It was really fortunate because they had that Saturday off.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They did play
on
Saturday.
That's right. You called me and said, if they had a game this weekend, I'd probably miss it.
It was that bad.
It was that bad. But anyways, no, just you're fine.
Lloyd, what would you do?
Go to 7 o'clock at
Boise. I think I told you what I would do. I would actually go get tested in the morning, bright and early. But that's because I'm paranoid about stuff like that, though. I like to give myself time.
No. You're going to be fine. Kevin White and Ajay really could hold it down.
Oh, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they could. They'd be great. You know this is going to get back to Ajay.
Okay, you don't need to be shaking your head when you're saying that.
No, I said they'd be fine. They'd do a great job. I have full confidence in their ability.
His headset Hands. Almost whipped off his head.
Like, okay, that's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah, his headset almost whipped off his head. He had to readjust it because he was shaking so hard.
Is there a chiropractor around here?
Looked like a wet dog trying to shake the water off.
All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup now, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love! On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
I think these guys should get everything they can, personally. I mean, they're putting their bodies on the line week in and week out and creating a lot of generating a lot of revenue for a lot of different people, and I think they need we need to take care of them as best as we possibly can.
There you go, Scotty. Kyle Whittingham talking about name, imaging, and likeness, and possibly getting some money into the pockets of some of these players. I actually wanted to talk about this out of the gates because this is a growing sentiment amongst coaches. And I don't know if you've talked to the Utah State coaches or if you've heard much of this coming from Logan. I have had some conversations with coaches, and I've had some conversations with different recruiting services out there. There's a growing sentiment, Scotty, that the name, imaging, and likeness process might keep some of the bigger and better recruits in their given states that
really?
They've grown up in.
Because they have some name recognition there?
Exactly.
Interesting.
I was talking to one individual specifically about a big-time recruit here in the state. And we were kind of going back and forth, and I was asking, well, what are the chances? And there's already some commitment there. And I said, you know, it's kind of a bummer that this kid is leaving the state. And this individual said to me, if this was 2 or 3 years from now, knowing the connections that I know that his family has in this state and the connections that we have around this state, we could do a lot of good with his imaging.
Wow.
And if you could go to a kid that has a parent that, let's say, is in the auto industry, or you have a kid that has committed to, I don't know, UCLA, mm-hmm. and you know that his dad or his mom works in the tech industry, you can go to that kid and you can say, hey, look, you know, we've got two dealerships here, or we've got
restaurants, or we've got, you know, X, Y, and Z relationship with this business here where you grew up. We've got those connections. We've got those connections.
And you can, you'll have a better chance of convincing a kid to stay and take the money for his name, imaging, and likeness in the state that he grew up in. There's a growing feeling that it is going to help keep big recruits in the states that they grow up in.
It's a really interesting angle I haven't even thought of, too. And if you go to UCLA, you're going to have to wait until you do something great on the field before you'll have that NLI opportunities. But if you're a local kid with local connections and you had a great high school career, you can kick that off as a freshman and hit the ground running.
Yep. You could be driving an Infiniti as you're walking up onto campus.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We'll continue this conversation. We're live here at Tim Daly Infiniti. Come down 4594 South State Street. Hang out with us, and let's see what we can do to get you in one of these Infinities. You may be thinking it's a little out of my reach. You know what? May not be the case. Dallas and I were talking about some of the numbers on some of these rides, the lease options, the used inventory. There are great opportunities for you to get into an Infiniti right now. Tim Daly Infiniti, 4594 South State Street. Also a lot of 0% financing options as well right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Craig Bowlerjack. What do you think the Jazz offseason priorities would be?
Obviously Donovan number one, and then Rudy number two, and Jordan Clarkson 2A. I think you have to keep the bench solid with Jordan Clarkson as a centerpiece that comes off that bench. And then the big discussion, you know, how many beans are going to be in the box? We don't know. And the Jazz actually, with the situation at COVID, no fans in the stands, it's been difficult because of COVID. So that brings me then to the next question is, you pay one player max, then you have another player who is qualified for Supermax, and that's where the discussion gets heavy. It's going to be interesting to see how this all turns out.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I want to get back to this conversation in regards to name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people out there that are really spooked at losing recruits to Alabama and Clemson and your blue bloods because they'll have an ability to monetize themselves more. And that might be the case for your high, high, high level recruits. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to be as much of a death knell to your lower-level schools as a lot of people think it'll be. Like, I'm far more bothered by the one free transfer than I am about NIL. Like, I think a kid out there, and, whether it's, I know we don't have fans in the stands. I know BYU will have some coming up this weekend. But if I'm Zach Wilson and I'm looking up and I'm seeing all these number one jerseys up there, I'm thinking, hey, you know what? They bought that because of me. Mm-hmm. I should probably get some of that. And I think he's well within his right to get some level of that. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you execute it. But, you know, there's a lot of people buying those jerseys because of what Zach Wilson's been doing out on the field. And they're selling that jersey because of him. But I also understand that it's tough to police and all that. So I get it, I understand it, and I think there's a lot of concern about how it's going to affect local recruiting, but I love the point you brought up that, hey, this might actually work in the favor for some of these schools of keeping these kids local.
It really should, and coaches need to do their homework, figure out what the connections are, what the parents' connections are, what the area feels like, and what's big in the area, and really get these kids out in front of these marketers and these sponsor dollars. And do it early and work hand in hand with the parents to do it.
Yeah.
All of us are connected in the state one way or the other. If you got a big time recruit, you know, Scotty, let's say your youngest becomes some big high level recruit. You got connections to 15 to 20 different places here in the state of Utah that could put money in his pocket, have him cut a couple of commercials that we play during the show, and they pad his pocket with a couple dollars or maybe product if it's product that
or
he needs.
Or dad's pocket.
or hopefully dad's pocket, which is probably going to happen in the big scheme of this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There will be people that take advantage of it.
Yep.
And I'm sure that that the whole thing will be exposed in the first 5 years. There's going to be a lot of different stories that come forward, and it's like, boy, they really used and abused that, and that's not what it was intended for, and here's a slap on the wrist. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of that coming forward.
Yeah.
But using your connections, and if I'm a coach, let's say I'm recruiting for Pleasant Grove State, and I'm coming to you, and I say to you, hey, look, you know, we would really like to have your youngest come play here, and we've actually got three companies. We talked to one; they know you well. They've listened to your show. They've actually watched your youngest. They know kind of who he is. And because you're in state and you've got a presence here and you've got a relationship, you know, they're already willing to put X amount of dollars on your son if he comes here to Pleasant Grove State. So, you know, that's kind of what we have in our pocket here. So that to me is really enticing. Because let's say they fly him out to Alabama, and Alabama's like, well, we've got a lot of product lines here, and we got a lot of kids that are making X amount of dollars. So once we get you here and we get you involved in the program, we'll start working on that.
You get here and you start making plays, and you start helping us win some games, you're going to have some opportunities. Whereas, yeah. I have an opportunity right now.
Yeah, so the conversation is just, it's different. Now, even if you're a five-star coming out of the state of Utah and you go to Alabama, Alabama's got 25 five-stars on their roster. And they're looking at you like, hey, look, son, you know, you look at our top five-stars, they're each making $85,000 a year on product endorsement. And that's what you can do here. And we'll just get you into the system and get you going. And it's, maybe it's for some of the top-end products or players, they'll have product placement early, but my guess is not with a kid coming out of state. Maybe an Alabama kid that grew up in the state, yeah. A Florida kid that grew up in the state, or Texas. You know, maybe they're able to keep those players in state. Maybe Utah doesn't, maybe they aren't able to poach as much out of those states. Maybe they're not able to poach as much out of California. But I do think that you've got a better chance of keeping Utah products here in Utah.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Overall, is this something that, I mean, I don't know, back in the day you probably could have had, what was the place you and your wife went to for the first time on a date?
Oh, Olive Garden?
Yeah. Or, wherever, you know, you could go there and, if they were say, look, we'll give you three free meals a week, you'd be like, done.
All over.
These kids don't have high expectations. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe the world's changed a little bit. But I don't think it'll take much to help these kids feel good about what they're doing, feel like they're well taken care of, and an opportunity for them to really entrench themselves in the community too.
I wonder if there is going to be some usage of apparel, like, you know, throw a John Deere hat on a kid that tucks it over his brow before he's doing an interview.
Yeah.
Or, if, you know, that might be bad for universities because universities are locked into apparel deals and they may shut that down real quick. But if it's not an apparel logo, you know, if I sit down and I've got, like I said, a John Deere logo, that's not an apparel logo.
No.
Nike isn't going to be like, well, that's – it goes directly against our contract. Even though I know in the NFL you can't wear anything with a logo that's
Nike's
not.
Like, you got to take that Carhartt hat off.
Yeah.
Like, what? Are you guys really competing here? Come on.
Not really. You don't build overalls that can't possibly. I mean, their overalls are like Kevlar.
I know.
Kevlar.
Almost like, yeah, like bulletproof.
Yeah. I said Teflon and Kevlar, and I said Kevlon. And I meant Kevlar.
I don't know, maybe you're onto something there.
Yeah, I know.
The Keflon Don.
The what?
Nothing.
So we'll see, Scotty, how that influences these players, but it is a growing belief that it is going to be very usable for in-state products and or in in-state players with product.
Well, if anything can help, I mean, there was another local kid who just committed to Oregon, like last week. Mm-hmm. Like the state's getting rated pretty well.
Yeah.
And so it's time to for somebody to help out and try to keep these kids local as much as possible.
Well, I know that there's a couple out-of-state guys that have come in for the Corner Canyon quarterback now. And it's,
I think USC just offered him.
Yeah, it's kind of a growing belief that he may leave the state. And that's just how it's going right now. Some of your top products leaving the state. But maybe this will help recruiting that way. I would like to see him stay in.
Is this going to hit next year, do you think, the NLI?
It's pretty quick.
I think it is.
I think that's their expectation.
Which is why I think next summer is going to be the old Wild West, because you've got a one free transfer. You'll have teams that are going to be throwing out NIL, like, hey, come here and just know this is going to be taken care of for you. Yeah. Like, I think the movement of college football players come, you know, probably around the end of spring, middle of spring ball, and going through the summer is just going to be through the roof.
Well, it'll be a lot tougher to track college-level kids and that large of roster and tampering than it would in the NFL.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you can track some tampering. You get word, and there's 53 guys, and we're talking about millions of dollars and, you know, really big magnifying glasses on these high-profile players, and if there's tampering or there's any back and forth, you can usually get wind, sniff it out, and snuff it out. In college, where you got 100 players and you got 85 on scholarship, and you've got parents and aunts and uncles that are in business, and it's not – this guy isn't being paid $1.2 million. He's just on a scholarship. I just think that there's going to be a contact. There's some type of connection.
And Jay Hill mentioned it, and when he said it, like, I think it's hopeful that it happens, but I just don't know if it's realistic that it happens. Where he said that, like, the NCAA is really going to hammer down hard on tampering. Like, let's say there's a great quarterback at Utah State, and all of a sudden Tennessee reaches out to him and says, hey, you know, come here, let's get you in the SEC. He said if the NCAA catches wind of that, that the ramifications are going to be severe. And that might be true in terms of the letter of the law, but let's be honest, it only takes one little tiny DM on Snapchat or on Twitter. Those are all easily deleted. And so how are you ever going to be able to prove that there was tampering going on? Like, I think tampering is going to be rampant.
Okay, so I'm just going to give you an example. All right, let's say my son is playing at a university.
Okay.
And I get a call from him, and he's like, man, I hate my coach. They're not playing me. First of all, I say, hey, son, suck it up. You're not transferring. I will be very bullish that my kid does not transfer. Very bullish. I will reinforce the grass isn't greener. You committed to those coaches. Now, if the coaches transfer and they bring in a new staff and that staff screws things up, I understand that.
Yeah.
But if it's the staff he committed to, first thing first, I'm telling him, stick this thing out, figure it out, and get this thing fixed. You're not playing because it's your fault. You're doing something wrong. Fix it. That'd be my first thing. If I felt like, you know, the staff had been fired or they had left for a bigger contract and the staff that came in and I don't trust them and my son doesn't trust them and I trust my son.
Yeah.
I have literally played with hundreds of football players. I've got teammates that are on staffs all over the country, whether it was from my time in the AFL, my time in the NFL, my time in college, or even my time in high school. I've got teammates everywhere. It takes one call from a former teammate that's the father of a son that's playing in a university that says, hey, how you doing, brother? Hey, yeah, this is Hans. So I know Rock didn't originally commit to you, but they brought in this new staff. It's not going well. Okay, we're on it. He's willing. He's willing to transfer. Okay, we're on it.
Yeah,
it's that easy.
It's that easy.
How would the NCAA ever punish you?
And do you think the NCAA has the time to really dig into stuff like that? Of course not.
Well, let's say that it gets back to him, and they call me and they say, "Hey, did you call this coach?" No, I didn't call that coach. I called my teammate.
Yeah,
I called my teammate, and we were just talking. What are you talking about? Did I call a coach?
They're like, well, can we look at your phone records and text records? No, you can't look at that.
Oh, are you kidding me? No.
You give me a subpoena. Do you have subpoena power? No. Okay, well then, no. I'm not giving you nothing.
But that's how quick and easy tampering is.
Yep.
You know, a lot of these college kids have parents that played or aunts and uncles or, you know, they've got some background or some history and some connection to some football program somewhere.
Yep.
So if they want to transfer, they can do it. And they can tamper like crazy. They can, let's flip the role. That coach, who's my old teammate, calls me and says, "Hey, how you doing, teammate? Hey, how you doing? Hey, long time no talk, man. Hey, yeah, it's all going good over here. Yeah, Rock's doing okay. He's doing all right. Hey, so we just lost 2 defensive tackles, and we got X, Y, and Z, and I've got this lined up for him. I mean, we've got these 3 sponsors that were vacated, and there's about $80,000 sitting there for him in sponsorship dollars, and that's not tampering. That's him calling me and as a teammate informing me. Yeah, it is tampering.
Yeah.
But you see, it's just not – you can't control that.
No. Nope. That's what happens when you open up this door, and you can say you're going to close it down and you're not going to allow that stuff to happen, but it's going to happen.
Teammates talk, man.
Yeah.
And football is incestual. Everybody knows everybody.
Yep.
They've worked with each other. They've played against each other. They played with each other. Somewhere along the line, you know somebody when you've played college and professional football.
Yeah. And frankly, even if you have no connection, your parents didn't play, but you went through the recruiting process, and let's say you had a really good relationship with a coach, and you still didn't go to that school. You went to a different school, and he reaches out and just says, "Hey, you know what? Just, you know, the other day I was thinking how much fun I had, you know, when I was recruiting your son, is at your house. And, man, your wife made the best meatloaf I've ever had.
Yeah.
My wife wants that recipe. Can you send it over to her? Great. Hey, how's he doing, by the way? Is he doing good over there? Because just know, you know, the door is always open over here, and we just lost a left tackle. Who, you know, no big deal. He went in the first round of the NFL, and we're looking for our next first round left tackle. And I always thought your son could be an NFL player. So just want to let you know.
I've seen him a couple times. Are they playing him out there?
Yeah, it seems like they move him to guard, because that just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, tell you what, if he was here, he'd be my guy. He'd be anchoring that blind side for our quarterback, and he would be the face of that offensive line. I don't understand what they're doing with your guy over there. But, hey, that's just me.
Hey,
you know,
if you need anything, I'm an email away. Now, well, you don't want to leave paper trails.
No.
I'm a
direct message away, wink, wink.
Don't even DM him. It's all Instagram now. That's where the secrets are held.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5.
No, not Instagram. Snapchat.
Snapchat.
That's where the secrets are held.
Yeah, because that deletes after a while, right?
That is correct. Not after a while, after one viewing. Gone forever. Into the atmosphere. Gone.
Unless you take a screenshot.
Up and disappears like a fart in the wind.
Gone.
Gone.
Kaiser Sose.
Unless you take a screenshot. That's naughty, though. You don't do that.
You're not supposed to do that.
That goes against Snapchat code.
Oh, really? There's a code of Snapchat.
Uh-huh. You don't screenshot.
I will
Snapchat.
Say this. That's the one thing that I'm actually pretty proud that I've never signed up for.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, no. All right, 10:47, Hans and Scotty. Coming up, what you may have missed. Remember, it's a Cougar preview show. We'll transition into a BYU talk coming up today at high noon right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Nothing else matters, fellas. Every day we go to work.
Football is back, and the Zone Sports Network has you covered. As the Cougars continue to bulldoze through their schedule and the Utes and Aggies get set for the start of their seasons.
You gotta go faster, faster.
Nobody will bring you better coverage of your team than the Zone Sports Network. This is your home of the best college football coverage in Utah.
Turn me up all day.
97.5, 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network. Don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
You may have missed here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Game one of the World Series is in the books. I don't know. It's one of those nights where I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's for whatever reason, and you put out the poll question, not a lot of people are too overly excited about Major League Baseball and the World Series at this point, but last night it was kind of one of those games where it just felt like the Dodgers are just a better team and are probably going to win. It kind of feels the same way as the NBA Finals, where we all knew the Lakers were going to win. It's just a matter of how quickly they were going to do it. And last night, Dodgers win 8-3, and frankly, just put the hammer down and did what we all kind of anticipated they would do.
So I'm not, obviously, not baseball enthusiast, not baseball insider, but definitely watch some of this. And when you watch, when you just watch the game, you know that Betts is an incredible baseball player. Instincts, speed, great understanding of the game. I guess you could say the same for Bellinger, but you could see that the Dodgers have some incredibly gifted baseball players on that roster. And that Dodgers team, I think, is going to be really difficult for Tampa Bay to handle. Plus, you know, the pitching of Kershaw, you watched what the Dodgers were trying to do just in an attempt, and they were solid, man. I know a ton about baseball. I spend hours and hours doing the football thing. But you can sit down and watch a game, and you could see who's the most talented on that on that diamond.
Again, if you don't watch a lot of baseball and you go in and not know much about these two teams and you're asked who's the best player out there, you go to Mookie Betts pretty quick.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And remember, this was a guy who was a member of the Red Sox, and they moved him to L.A. and they saved some money, but boy, they look silly moving a guy like that.
Mm-hmm. I had fun watching it, you know, just kind of kicked back, casual. Didn't have my notepad and paper out. Didn't have my video recorder that I do all my NCAA and NFL highlight stuff on. I just sit back and watch a little baseball. I don't have a real depth of understanding of the game. I do know that it's really deep. I know that game goes really deep. You talk to baseball players, and it is crazy some of the small details in that game. And when you understand those small details, it is a true draw to the game. But I do feel like they're losing fans. It feels like they're losing kind of to the youth of sports fans. And I don't know if it's the kind of the boring nature of it. If you're trying to watch it, I don't know what it is. But it seems like they're losing the young fans.
That is, I think it's a concern. And if you're a 15, 16, 17-year-old player, you're great at football, you're great at baseball, you're going to, I don't know, it just seems kids might not be inclined to play baseball as much as they used to. And maybe I'm wrong on that.
And but, they should, because the money's better than in any other sport.
Money's way better in baseball than it is football. But I just get a sense that there's not a lot of young players these days that have options that are leaning towards playing baseball.
It is kind of strange when you think about two of the biggest money makers individually, two of the biggest moneymakers are boxing and baseball. If you're a high-level boxer and you make it to the pinnacle and you are undefeated or you've got some type of dominant nature about your game, you're going to make millions in boxing. You don't share it. You know, you pull in pay-per-view numbers. You get some of those guaranteed numbers. You just look at what Floyd did in the last probably 10 fights, 15 fights of his career.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know, maybe 800 million, 900 million in the final fights.
Kind of seems that way.
It feels like it was 150 to $200 million per fight in the last three or four. Didn't he end up making like $275 million when he recently fought the Notorious?
Yeah.
And how lame, how ridiculous was that fight? Kept him at length. It was the people that knew fighting knew how that was going to go.
Yeah.
Yet they still made a lot of money in that.
Just a quick Yahoo Finance reports that Floyd Mayweather's career earnings as an athlete estimated to be in excess of $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say that a billion of that probably came in the final 10, 15 fights.
Sounds about right.
But that money team, as much as everybody might have hated him, and I despised him, and I still feel like he ruined boxing, that's where money is. There is still massive money. Why do you think these UFC fighters are trying to transition over?
It's just, I don't know, like the thought of, I haven't thought about watching the last fight that interests me is when you guys came over and we watched the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Yeah, and maybe the next fight that interests you
will be the McGregor, whoever else.
Manny.
Manny, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That'll probably be the next. Yeah. Or no, sorry. Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr.
Yep, no, that's true.
That'll draw you in. But then the next one will be Manny and
McGregor. Yep.
But it takes something showy to even draw. But those guys are making millions.
I know.
You're like, high-end fighters.
You know, I'll follow Chris Mannix, who obviously great NBA writer, but big boxing guy as well.
Yeah.
And he'll tweet out like, oh, big fight tonight. Heavyweight, this guy. I've never heard of two of them. I couldn't care less. There's nothing that would interest me in watching that. However, it's a big draw. These guys are making millions of dollars. And good for them, but it doesn't interest me in the least. But I get it. I might be in the minority on that.
Did Tyson Fury bring you into the sport at all?
No.
Did you catch some of his most recent fight against Deontay Wilder? The big card?
That's about as close as I've gotten, and I just relied on you and what you were telling me about it. I mean, I enjoyed his story and the backstory of what he had to come through and all those other issues.
Oh, he's gone through it.
Yeah, I mean.
And remember going in that fight, I thought Wilder was going to rip his head off in three rounds.
Yeah.
And it was just the flip of that. Fury was able to keep it at length. There are a couple of fighters that are bringing me in. I'd love to find a number on that fight. My guess is Fury probably brought in, I don't know, $60, $80 million on that. Had to have brought in a massive payday. Let's see. Oh, so here's one. Mayweather-Pacquiao. You remember that fight?
Yeah.
That grossed $600 million. A lot of money in boxing. But also, like Lloyd pointed out, a lot of money in baseball. If you're good at baseball, get yourself in. Baseball has become a big international brand.
Yeah. I mean,
Lloyd, what percentage of players in Major League Baseball do you think are international? It's still under 10%, I'm sure.
Oh, that's tough to say. But I know it's getting more.
Jimmy tweets in, it said, to prove your point, Kyler Murray was a first-round draft pick in both Major League Baseball and the NFL, chose football. Could have made a whole lot more money probably playing baseball.
He was a first-round pick in both?
Yes, I believe so.
And he went football? I've told you 100 times, if there was money in wrestling, when I was coming to high school, I would have wrestled. Because wrestling, I felt like I was more dominant in wrestling than I was in football.
Yeah.
But there was just no money in it. So I went football.
Another tweet rolls in. Tyler says baseball might be losing fans, but it's beating the NBA finals in and they show ratings. Yeah, you're right. If you go game versus game, I would want to look at it a little bit more over a 3 or 4 year average than just because let's look, the NBA was out of season. I'm not making excuses. I know that there's a lot of people really cranky at the NBA right now, but I don't think that this year is an indication of where the NBA is in terms of ratings. You get that thing back on a normal schedule, you put fans in the stands, and you play that thing in June, I think you're back to your normal ratings that you normally usually get. Maybe a drop a little bit because of some people getting cranky about social justice issues, but for the most part, the nasty drop that they suffered, I think there were a lot of factors involved, not just what a lot of people I know are upset about. So I get your point, Tyler, and I think you are right. NBA, it did not pull a good rating as Major League Baseball did.
That number surprises me.
27% of Major League Baseball players are foreign-born. Wow.
That number surprised me. Austin Horton just sent that over to us. Does that surprise you? I was thinking it would be 10 or slightly under 10. What do you think the NBA is at? Probably
with
similar?
Foreign?
Yeah. Probably similar. No.
I'd say probably 15 to 20% maybe.
I think that's...
If you include Canada.
That's about right where I'd go. Yeah. 15 to 20%. There's still some entertaining factors of the World Series, even as a casual fan. All I'm telling people is I'm just giving you a suggestion. Just tune in. Give it a minute. You know, instead of just writing it off and be like, oh, baseball, it's boring and it sucks. You got game two tonight. Just flip it on. Game two. What could hurt?
I love postseason baseball. The regular season's a bit of a grind for me, but same with not quite the NHL. I mean, I'll only watch really a game sevens of NHL series. But Major League Baseball, I love postseason baseball.
I saw the guys on the coverage last night. They were talking about how Blake Snell's going to be on the mound for Tampa Bay. I did not catch who the Dodgers are going to have on the mound, but Clayton Kershaw is a centerpiece. Did you see and by the way, the baseball broadcast is doing everything they can to increase interest. They did an incredible imaging of Kershaw's hand at release on four different balls, four different types of pitches. And to watch the release in nearly the exact same spot, but watch the ball in its completely different paths, was absolutely. When I'm watching it now, I'm a sports nut, but when I was watching it, it actually gave me chills to think that dude has mastered his craft to the point where he can throw four extremely near impossible pitches to hit. And as I'm a batter and I'm watching that hand come over the top, and I'm looking for signs. I'm looking for glove signs. I'm looking for head tilt. I'm looking for hand positioning, arm and shoulder positioning, anything I can to try to get a hold of that ball. And I'm getting four different pitches coming out of the exact same angle that take drastically different patterns. I don't even know how you hit a pitch.
I think the hardest thing in all of sports is to hit, a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
100% agree.
But I think
100%. I've always believed that.
I think the second hardest thing to do in sports is what you were talking about with Clayton Kershaw, is to throw, you know, that nasty curveball or that slider, or to have that array of pitches in your arsenal. I mean, the talent level of those guys are just ridiculous.
It is, man. I am impressed by them as athletes, and I know that this just in that poll question that I put out, I could not believe how few people in this state, at least on my Twitter poll, had any interest in baseball.
Yeah,
zero, none. Scotty, I think it was 60% of the vote said it was from 0 to 2. They didn't care.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Come by 5494 South State Street. These guys are ready to help you out. Get you into an Infinity, a car you will absolutely love to drive. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.